Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuvah, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
So we are in our third in a series on the topic of the Shabbat. I've entitled it The Power of Shabbat. And we're going to talk about the power of the Shabbat as it comes to us, as it empowers us, as it brings to us the prosperity of God. And so I'm really excited about kind of bringing this to a culmination. And I hope that you've enjoyed it as well. Every one of us are in a different journey. Every one of us have a different place of starting and coming into this issue of Shabbat keeping. And it's exciting. I love the stories that people tell. It's challenging. It costs us much, but the rewards and the blessings are truly remarkable. So let me start by saying that that keeping Shabbat is part of what we call kingdom culture. That the kingdom of God has culture. That the kingdom of God has a framework, a realm in which we live, and a way of life which is shaped and formed by the word of God. That the Word of God gives us commandments related to every sphere of human experience. And the more we walk in those ways, we develop culture, identity. It's called the culture of the kingdom. That the king has a law and expects his subjects to live within the framework of that law, thereby creating culture, kingdom culture. And the Shabbat is a big part of kingdom culture. Rabbi Bernard Drachman, I talked about him 2 weeks ago. I found his other quotes, so I wanted to give it to you today. And he was, in his day, probably the premier rabbi expert on the Shabbat, devoted his whole life to the Shabbat. And he taught and wrote extensively as it relates to the Shabbat. He was the founder of the Jewish Sabbath Alliance of America and the president for many, many years back in the early 1900s. So we often think of the Sabbath as being Jewish. Why should we do that? Why should we be concerned? It's Jewish. He says this, to the biblical Sabbath, quote, to the biblical Sabbath, often called the Jewish Sabbath, but not Jewish in any narrow nationalistic or sectarian sense, since its origin is coeval with the creation and therefore antedates by many centuries the origin of the Jews or Judaism. But Jewish in the sense that the Jewish people have been throughout its history, its most loyal and consistent upholders. He attributes a special importance of the divine scheme for the beautification of human life, unquote. So the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, is somewhat a misnomer, according to one of the most brilliant sages of the previous century. It's not Jewish in the sense that it transcends Judaism. It was there in the beginning. It was intended for everyone. It appears Jewish because it's the Jewish people who began to keep it first and then upheld it for all these centuries, for all these many, many years. So, the Shabbat is relevant to everyone, to every human being. It was designed by God to impart blessing to each and every one of us. So, the Shabbat is a powerful institution. We see it from the beginning in Gan Eden, even before the fall. And it's a powerful institution that forms and shapes the community of the redeemed. It identifies us, it defines us, it sustains us, it renews and beautifies us. Jesus habitually kept it and did most of his noteworthy miracles on that day. Healing and deliverance was in harmony with the meaning and purpose of Shabbat. Shabbat keeping brings glory and honor to God as the Creator, the Savior, Redeemer, Deliverer, and the Sanctifier. Think of this. The entire Apostolic Church, including the Gentiles, remembered and observed the Shabbat with great joy. So if we want to get back to an authentic Christian legacy, it begins with the Shabbat. If you want what Jesus and the apostles modeled, Messianic Judaism is where you need to start. So this week, the power of Shabbat to prosper and keep you in the blessing of God. What if I told you that Shabbat keeping is a spiritual magnet that draws the prosperity of God to its keeper? That the blessings and the curses are personified in the Torah. That Shabbat keeping would mark you in a way that the blessings of God would seek you out, identify you, chase you, tackle you, hold you down so that you would experience the blessings. Would you be interested? Yeah. So think about this. And it's been pointed out by many sages over time. But in Deuteronomy, where it talks about the cursings and the blessings, they personify that. They are like angels. So that each blessing is like an angel. Each curse is like an angel. And as you either embrace by faith the commandments of God or break them, you release these angels that come, pursue you, seek you out, chase you down, that you might experience the covenant promises of either the blessing or the curse. You know, the curse is a blessing in disguise too. The curses are there to chastise us so we get back in line with God and his ways. But I'd rather, you know, go with the positive blessings. Keep in mind that the ways of God are counterintuitive. They're not going to make sense to your natural mind. When you look at them, you're going to say, really? Nah, like that doesn't work nowadays. No, that's what every generation says. God says, my ways are not like your ways. They're far above your ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are different from yours. My ways are not your ways. Here's another way to say it. My ways work, your ways don't. So keeping that in mind, let's look at this commandment of Shabbat. Shabbat keeping is a spiritual magnet that draws the prosperity of God to its keeper. That is going to be our takeaway today in this teaching. Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. God says to his people as they're returning to him, as they're opening their heart to him, as they're coming back to covenant faithfulness. Through Isaiah the prophet, God says to a people returning who love him, he says to them, if you, my people, if you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going on your own ways or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. It is I, the Lord, who speaks and will do what I said I will do. This works for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter, you know, when you live or where you live. It transcends all of the obstacles of this world to hold back the blessings of God. You got to believe and apprehend this by faith, though. If you don't believe that, it doesn't work. That's why God says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's saying, I'm speaking this to you. Believe. All things are possible to those who believe. If you come to me, you must believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek me. So let's unpack this verse, or these two verses. Got two verses today we'll unpack. Isaiah 58, 13a, we'll go with the first part of the verse. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, turn back your foot. What does that mean? It's a figure of speech related to your walk. Your foot is related to your leg, and together with the other one, we walk. Okay? So you're with me. Okay. If you turn back your foot in reference to how you walk as another figure of speech, the context is your walk, which is a reference to your view of life, how you see, perceive things, and then live that out. So it's lifestyle. It's talking about lifestyle. If you change your lifestyle around so as to accommodate the Shabbat, if you change the way you're living so that you're in alignment with the Shabbat, if you have a view of life consisting in what you believe is important, then your importance will be seen in your beliefs, your values, your things, what you spend your money on, i.e. your life. It represents your life. And God's saying, you know what? If you arrange all that, rearrange it to accommodate the Shabbat. Things are going to change for you. Normally, and quite naturally, the Shabbat is not in our matrix of what is important, is it? When you think about that on the natural realm, that doesn't work. I got to make a living. You know, I got to work on Shabbat. I can't just take it off. I got to mow the lawn. I got to shop. I've got things to do. I work all week. I don't have any time to give to God. I have too many responsibilities. I got to make ends meet. This is Meshuggah. It's crazy to talk about taking a whole day out of my life every week. Take a whole day out to do what? Nothing. I'm just supposed to eat and go and see people that want to sing and dance before the Lord. I mean, come on. God says, you turn your foot back. You change your lifestyle to accommodate the Shabbat. And I will do amazing things in your life. Let's look at the next part of this verse, 58, 13b. From doing your pleasure on my holy day. Now, that's a big one. Because we are pleasure seeking. We were made to be pleasure seeking, by the way. It's not a bad thing, unless it becomes narcissistic. But we're made to you know, seek pleasure. So I would read this, I would think, oh man, that's gonna make for a dull day. You know, can't do anything that's fun. You know, so whatever's fun, you can't do it, including food. Eat the food you don't like. Put on sackcloth and ashes or whatever. You know, you just can't have any pleasure. Well, it's interesting that the word pleasure here is just a poor translation. The Hebrew word behind it really isn't dealing with pleasure. Thank God, right? It actually deals with your business or career. It's saying that if you will cease from pursuing your own businesses and careers. Anyone have some businesses here? Careers here, right? Trying to make a living, right? From pursuing your wealth making or wealth building events. That you would cease from pursuing your venture opportunities. In short, from building your little kingdom, your dynasty, your name. Stop that once a week, right? That's what it's talking about. Not pleasurable things, but your career path that you throw yourself into to make wealth. I'm going to read from the Tanakh, JPS translation, written by Jews for Jews. It's a Jewish translation of this particular passage, Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. You'll catch it here. It's a much better translation. It says, if you refrain from trampling the Sabbath from, now this is the pleasure part, turn your back or from doing your own pleasure. Notice what it says. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your affairs on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day honored, and if you honor it and go not your ways, nor look to your affairs, nor strike bargains, it's talking about business. Business-related matters, career paths that are designed to, you know, maximize opportunities to make wealth. God says, turn away from that. You got 6 days a week to build your wealth. Take a break. If you don't, you're going to die young anyway. God has a much better plan. So let's go on. Chapter 58 and verse 13c. And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable. So we need to change our way of life to accommodate this space and time that's holy and sacred, to learn to rest and relax and celebrate, to be renewed. If we'll change our lifestyle and stop doing our normal work activities that we do to make a living, right? And then call the Sabbath a delight. How can it be delightful? I got stuff to do. I got work to do, you know. People are always looking at their watch. You know, Sabbath is almost over. I mean, they're just like ready to get out and continue to make a living or whatever it is that they do. God says, no. You get to the place where you can call the Sabbath a delight. Then you have begun to enter into it. Call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord. You know this word for delight? It's the Hebrew word, oneg. Oneg. Try to say that without smiling. It's impossible because it just means lots of food, right? Food and fellowship. Yeah, the word delight, oneg, in the Hebrew speaks of that which is luxurious, that which is extravagant, that which is like a party, a celebration. Call it that. Learn to view it as that. Get the perspective that the Shabbat for the Lord our King is a great, luxurious, delightful time. Call it the holy day of the Lord. It's my favorite passage today. Call it the holy day of the Lord, the day that the Lord has set apart for himself. Holy means to set apart for a special purpose. God says, you call Shabbat, call it the Lord's holy day. It's my day. It belongs to me. I set it apart. This is my day. The Sabbath is my holy day, and you're to call it his holy day. It belongs to him. It's his holy day. Ready for this? It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. Now, that doesn't mean much to you unless you're Catholic in your background. Because which day is the Lord's day historically conceived by the church? It's a reference to Sunday. Oh, you keep the Sabbath, we keep the Lord's day. Really? Because when I read the scriptures, it's very clear that the Lord's day is Shabbat. It is Saturday. That's the Lord's day. Go and do the math. In multiple places, many, many places, God says, this day is my day. He never says once that Sunday is his holy day. Not one time. No exceptions. No exceptions. There's a few times in which he says, or there's a few passages in which we find the phrase, the Lord's day. And typically those are references to days of judgment in which he comes and judges a nation, his own people, and so forth. But in all those passages, bar none, never once, is it a reference to Sunday. That's a second and third century concept that then is transported back in time into the biblical text. You call this day, the Shabbat, the holy day of the Lord, the Lord's day. The Lord's day. I can't say that enough because I have a Catholic background. The Lord's day here and in relationship to worship days is always Shabbat and never Sunday. I'm not going to say any more or any less. It's enough. And God says, my day is honorable. What I put into this day, that this day uniquely has, makes it, in contrast to the other days, honorable. What's honorable about the 6 days? You get up, you eat, you go to work. Come home, you eat and go to bed. You get up and go to work. They're all the same. They're called common days. There's nothing honorable. They're common. The Shabbat is uncommon. Sunday is common. The Shabbat is uncommon. The Shabbat is actually honorable, extravagant, luxurious, a celebration. I love it. I love the Shabbat. King David said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. I have discovered within the law this beautification of the Shabbat, the sacredness of time, of who God is as creator, savior, redeemer, sanctifier. And when I rest and meditate and eat and celebrate, I've discovered that it has great honor. Isaiah 58:13d, the next part of the verse. If you honor it, it's honorable. Whether you honor it or not, the Shabbat is honorable. Doesn't even need you. It's already honorable because of he who invested in it. It's honorable. So, God goes on to say, for you who are pressing into me, who are called by my name, my children who love me, that are returning to me, if you do all these things, including honoring it, the Shabbat, all these things I've promised will come to you. What does it mean to honor something? Respect it. What else? You make it different. You make it a big deal. You exalt it. You dress it up. You talk about it. You make it your focus. You make it holy. You make it spiritual. You do things to honor it. You do stuff to make it different from the other common days you lifted up above those days. During the week, you say, wow, look at that melon. You know, you're at King Supers. They got some exotic melon from some part of the world because it's only there for like 2 weeks, you know, or whatever. You're saying, I'm buying one of those and saving it for Shabbat. All week long, you know, I'm not wearing that shirt. It's nice and pressed. It's sitting in the... I'm going to wait till Shabbat to wear that shirt. You know, you do things all week long to spend it on Shabbat, to let it go on Shabbat, to make Shabbat a big deal. You ever notice how everything tastes better on Shabbat? You can actually make it taste better on Shabbat just by cultivating the awareness of God and his presence with you on Shabbat. We have a responsibility to honor it. God says, if you honor it. The next part of the verse says, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure. Again, that's about your business, your career. You know, I'm telling you right now, I've run my own small businesses before. I mean, really small businesses. I almost can't even say that because some of you actually have legitimate businesses. And I ran what I thought was a small business, but it was really small. But the point is I was working for myself. not making any money, but I was working for myself. And I know what it's like a little bit to work for yourself. And then I also worked in the, you know, world for 20 years, punching clocks. I know what it's like to set aside our career paths and making money. It's not easy. These things encroach on our time. Let me restate that. These things encroach on the Lord's sacred time. They take us away, and we miss you up for this reason and that reason and this issue and that issue, and I'm telling you, people, it's really not worth it. I don't say that to make you feel bad or bring condemnation, because in Messiah, there is no condemnation. We are no longer under the ability of the law to hold us accountable. But the point is this. We should never allow those things to encroach, because actually that issue of Shabbat brings so much blessing to our life. It brings things to our lives that money could never buy anyway. So why would we let employers or business ventures to take away our blessings? We got to think differently about this. God's ways are not our ways. He goes on to say, and not by talking idly. You know what that means? On Shabbat, don't talk shop. Don't talk business. You know, leave all that stuff for the 6 days a week. Talk Torah. Talk family. Talk fun. But don't talk business. Don't talk shop. You got all week to do that. Set it aside. You should be talking about the King and His kingdom. His word, His realm, His ways. That's what this day is set apart for. Isaiah 58:14 says, then you shall take delight in the Lord. At this point in your Shabbat keeping, it gets fun. It's kind of hard at first, but as you acclimate, make the changes, and get into the groove, I'll tell you what, this starts to get fun. It says, then you shall take delight in the Lord. You'll fall in love with God all over again in ways you never, ever thought possible. The mystery and the wonder of pursuing God will just light up again. This is one of the secrets of revival. You ever think of the church and its pursuit of revival, and it almost becomes idolatry. Church is always talking about revival. Another camp meeting, another, you know, series of revivals, and they got these getaways and retreats, and you go and you get renewed. Well, why? Why are you having to do that all the time? Why? Because you don't keep Shabbat. You're all burned out. So you have to go to all these revivals all the time. I got a revival every week. Now, true, it's a micro revival. It's a micro revival. But think about it. In 1 year's time, I've had 2,080 mini revival retreats. The cumulative effect of that, the accumulation of those micro revivals every week in and week out, the cumulative effect is I live in the realm of revival. I live in the realm of revival. I have not needed a revival for years. I'm always baffled that people say, no, we've got to have another revival. You know, if we don't have a revival thing, you know, I'm thinking, what? Just keep Shabbat. And you won't need to have these revivals. Isaiah 58:14. He says, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I'll make your life an adventure. I'll make your life exhilarating. Why do people get in planes and dive out, you know? Skydiving. Why do people do like skydiving type things? You ever wonder about that? Well, what causes the adrenaline? The thrill, the risk. It makes life worth living. That's why we do these crazy things. Keep Shabbat. You might lose your job. What an adventure. What a risk. If I tell my employer I'm not working no more, I wonder what he's going to do. Man, this is like getting nerve-wracking, adventurous. And when God moves on your behalf, it gets exhilarating. It's amazing in every way. I can tell you story after story after story, but I don't have time. He'll make you the head, not the tail. Being the head implies authority, interacting with power and fame, of honor and glory, truly experiencing what it means to be a child of the King in this world. Leviticus 15:14c. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. Who's Jacob? Who's Jacob? Yeah, Israel. He's the father of Israel. He's the father of the chosen people, the nation of God. Jacob is a reference to who he was before his encounter with the angel of God, Mashiach, before his life change. Jacob. From Jacob to Israel. He says, I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I was there in his disobedience, and I saw him through. And he was transformed by my grace, and I poured out upon him blessings like no other people group have ever received. God says, you keep my Shabbat, I'm going to bring that to you and your families. You too, like Jacob, will experience my favor. I mean, who doesn't want that? He went from jealousy and envy with his brother, if you remember, covetousness, to a place of peace and satisfaction. He went from fear and insecurities to a love and a stability that resulted in great courage. From a nobody to the Prince of God. What about you? Are you not on that same journey? Do you not love the Lord? I want to encourage you to continue to step into the Shabbat. It's your heritage. It's what brings you into the blessings of Jacob. It's what's going to turn you in to the head rather than the tail. It transforms your life. You become a prince of God or a princess of God as a result. It adds meaning and purpose to your life. And finally, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God says, I'll do that for you. So, I got a few minutes here. Well, let me just say this, and then if you have any questions, I'll ask. But as a follower of Jesus, it is incumbent that we embrace the Lord's Day, the Shabbat, a 24-hour period of time, from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, as a day of rest and corporate worship. How do we do that? Baby steps. Because no one does it overnight. Our nation, our culture, our world around us rails against these commandments. So I want to encourage you with this. You step into it one step at a time. We are under grace. The law doesn't even see us anymore. We're outside of its jurisdiction. We died and now we're raised in Messiah. And since we're under grace and it's not a matter of salvation, relax a little bit, get your bearings, and then set your face on beginning to step into the Shabbat one step at a time, because it's going to bring untold blessing into your lives. So you say, well, I can only do this once a month. I only get one Saturday off a month. Great, do it. Once a month, that's a good start, isn't it? Half a loaf is better than no loaf. That's right. You start one step at a time. Do what you can do. Make that day different. Chart your course. Rearrange your lifestyle to accommodate the Lord's holy day. And it will change you, keep you, sustain you, and exalt you in this world. So, start where you can and grow into it. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha ve'yihunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha ve'asem lecha shalom. Shabbat shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehilat Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov. Shabbat.